of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Silver Mines. This is Linda Kent, and I'm your host today. My brother is off playing today. As you know, it's deer season, so they are out deer hunting. Maybe he may be home. I'm not sure what he's doing. But so anyhow, I'm your host, and I'm in the studio with Bob. How you doing this morning, Bob?
Great, Linda. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Isn't this like the first show Mark has ever missed?
No, he's missed a couple, but yeah, not too many.
Where we didn't have a replay instead, I mean? I don't ever remember you.
Yep, I've been in a couple times by myself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there was that must have been when you were on Saturday morning, of course.
Of course. Now it's Sunday, and hey, hopefully our guest will show up. He said he would be running late. If not, we'll be tap dancing and doing all kinds of fun stuff here. Shortly. So there you go. I want to thank all of our sponsors out there that's helped support this show through the couple years that we've been on. Again, today is Sunday, September 21st. We are streaming worldwide. All of our shows are podcast and archived at KCNR1460.com.
I was just checking an important calendar fact there. Tomorrow is the first day of autumn.
Oh.
I didn't know if it was today or tomorrow, but it's tomorrow. So this is the last day of summer.
Well, it's quite nice out there. Yeah. We'll take it. We'll welcome the change in the weather out there. So we do have a guest. Like I said he would be running a little bit late. He's coming from church, and that would be the candidate for city council, Mike Quinn. So until he gets here, I will give some announcements of what's going on. Don't forget. Tomorrow's Monday night.
One thing for sure, we know Mike knows how to get here.
Yeah, well, we hope so. We're in trouble if he doesn't. Anyway, tomorrow night at the Reading Tea Party, we have Patty and Mike Smith, and they're doing an election integrity project. So everybody should come out and join us on that. That starts at 6 p.m., and we're at 2570 Bonnie View. This, if you get involved in this, you can observe at the polls. You can be a volunteer. You can overlook to see what's going on. Not that anything would be happening at the elections, you know. Nothing hanky going on there or anything. So anyway, that's tomorrow night at the Reading Tea Party, 6 o'clock. We start, and that's 2570 Bayview. On the following Monday night, we will have Chris Ann Hall. Okay, Bob's having too much fun over there. I'm sorry.
I just came across the worst online video ad I've ever seen.
There you go.
I don't even want to discuss it.
Oh, okay. We'll let it go. But he was having a lot of fun over there. Anyhow, next Monday, the September 29th, we will have Chris Ann Hall at the Tea Party. And again, we start at 6 o'clock. I do have some veterans announcements that I want to get in. Don't forget, next month in October, we have the yearly stand down that is at the Shasta District Fairgrounds in Anderson. It will be October 23rd, 24th, and 25th this year, I do believe. And that's for all the veterans that they can go down there and get all kinds of stuff. I know that we'll be down there cooking again. We just talked to the chef yesterday because we were up in Weed and serving food for the fire victims up there. And so we will be cooking down at the fairgrounds at the stand down. Again, that's October 23rd, 24th, and 25th. We have Christmas for the Troops coming up. I know it seems kind of early for that, but we need to start thinking about that. That's going to be December 14th. Tickets are $15. We are going to hold it again, I do believe, at the Senior Citizen Hall here on Benton Drive. If you're interested, give me a call at 221-0101, and I can give you more information. If you're interested in dropping off items for that, for the Christmas for the Troops, we can do that. I will take them. Treva Gephardt will take them. And Jones Ford, I believe, is collecting them. But again, give us a call at 221-0101 if you want more information on that. And it will be at the Senior Citizen Hall at 2290 Benton Drive. I also just came across a new program for veterans, and it's a canine companion. And what it is any veteran that you know that's in need of a companion, or if they have a dog that needs training so they can behave better, this organization will help with that. And right now they do have a German Shepherd that is all trained and ready to go to be a companion for a veteran in the area. And most of these dogs have been thoroughly trained. They were going to go to, like, security or the police or something. And for some reason, they didn't quite get past all the training. I know, like, my sister-in-law's dog went through extensive training, and then they found out that he was scared of the dark. So he wasn't allowed to actually go forth in the police academy. But they would make a great companion for any veterans out there. So with that, I think that's all the announcement that I have at this moment. And we'll go to a break, and hopefully Mike Quinn will be here by then.
Do you know what breed that service dog was?
It was the German Shepherd.
German Shepherd, okay.
Yeah. And so, yeah, like I say, for some reason they may be lacking something. Like my sister-in-law's dog, he was a great big lab. His name was Powell. And they found out he was afraid of the dark, and you had to leave a light on. So for service dogs, like for the police, they
okay, the one that was afraid of the dark was a lab.
Yeah.
Okay, that does not surprise me. Labs have some very weird hang-ups.
Yeah, they do. great dogs,
they
but
are.
Yeah.
We have two.
Do you have two?
One of ours has developed a fear of floor fans.
Oh, geez. Not a good thing.
I don't know if he had a bad encounter with one when we weren't home or what exactly, but... he refuses to go past one.
Well, this is a really great program. Like I say, these companions for the veterans, if they have their own pet already, they'll take them and train them.
Yeah.
Or they have them there. Like I say, they do have this one right now, the last I knew, and it's a shepherd breed. And so they're just looking for a good home for somebody. And we all know how good companions can be. So.
And to be fair, labs do make great service dogs. There are a lot of them in service.
Yes, they do. Yeah. They're a lot of fun. So anyhow, I think that's all with the announcements for now. I think we'll go to a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about our guests, and hopefully you'll be in the studio. If you want to call in and you have any comments or concerns, give me a call at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, Community Radio for the North State.
Robert, nice to see you again.
Don, imagine you being here.
Yeah, 11 to 1 every Sunday.
Oh, man, this is the place to be, 11 to 1.
Why don't you join us? We have a good time.
I think I will. I think I'll do that every Sunday. It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things here on our own community radio.
For the North State.
Remember, Sunday from 11 to 1. Join us on KCNR, 1460 AM, Community Radio for the North State.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
This is Mark Story, CEO of Haven Humane Society. The heat is upon us, and I wanted to remind everyone of how hot it can get in a car or the back of a pickup for our pets. If you see any unattended animals in cars in the heat, please call Haven Humane Animal Regulations at 241-2550 so we can help.
Captain Eric Lawrence needed help after a paralyzing injury in Afghanistan.
PVA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
To learn more, visit PVA.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas-Tynan, holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
We're back to Silver Mines. We're kind of doing the dance here. Our guest hasn't showed yet, so Aaron popped back in the studio. And before we get started on this one article, I want to read this quote that I have. Government's view of the economy can be summed up in a few short phases. If it moves, tax it. If it keeps moving, regulate it. And if it stops moving, subsidize it. Ronald Reagan. I like that, and it kind of fits right into...
That's like everything we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could take like everything we do, put it in like a little itty bitty phrase, and then that's it.
Yeah. And that just leads us right into this article I saw this morning. People, you're not going to believe this. The headline says, Congress approves bill that will offer free automobiles to welfare recipients. Plus a $100 a month gift card, gas card that goes along with that automobile.
Which House of Congress and what exactly was the? Do you have the weeds there?
Yeah, yesterday the White House.
They must be electric cars, right?
It doesn't say. Maybe.
I mean, they can't. Further proof they can't give them away.
Yeah. Well, the article came out of the Empire News, and let's see, I'll turn it here. And it was the White House announced its plan to offer free motor vehicles to welfare recipients after Congress passed the bill in a narrow vote. The program.
They're going to call it the Obama car.
Just like the Obama phone.
Pretty soon we're just going to be the Obama ets. I mean, really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You believe this?
No.
I just couldn't get. And let's see. Let me get further down here. White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest announced the launching of the program in a late press briefing yesterday evening.
Oh, sure. Easy for you to say.
I know. The free automobile
program. Wait, press briefing as in Friday afternoon?
Yeah.
They love Friday afternoon. They dig Friday afternoon. Friday is the new Monday.
They are so predictable.
Yeah. Not that it's anything
you can just
new.
Sleep all week. Friday afternoon, man, just like laser focus. Here comes the good stuff.
Yeah. So, the free automobile program gives low-income Americans the opportunity to take ownership of a vehicle at no cost and will also include a monthly gas card for $100. Any United States citizen receiving welfare benefits qualifies for the programs, which will be starting on January 5th, 2015, said Earnest.
Oh, here we go.
That's not fair to the non-citizens.
No kidding. Well, I'm sure they're first on the list.
Well, yeah, whatever they call in a United States citizen, and you know.
Now, here we have not always the voice of reason, but Senate Majority Minority Leader Mitch McConnell told reporters that this will be the downfall of President Obama. Quote, this absurd plan that the Democrats have conjured up is beyond belief. Ding, 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 ding. We have a winner. I have no idea how or – oh, that part was mine. Back to Mitch McConnell. I have no idea how or why Congress passes this, but I'll tell you this. It's the beginning of the end for the Obama administration. Americans are fed up, and they're being called to the post. McConnell says it's only a matter of time before the impeachment hearings begin. Mark my words. Okay, so
I'm just saying.
So Congress as an entire body, both houses, both parties did not pass this. I just wanted to verify that.
Yeah.
Okay, it did not get out of the House.
Well, no, it didn't get out of the House. But you know what? You know, honestly, if your party's kind of under the gun, do you pass crap like that? Really? Because the people that don't have a car, I mean, there are a lot of people who don't have a car,
if you read further down, it's supposed to help unemployment and everything, because then that way they have a car to get to the job. I know that there's no jobs out there to get, but that's beside the point.
If you know your party is already toast, maybe you just go on a scorched earth agenda between now
there
and
you go.
January
that's the
20th.
But I'm thinking, like, you know, just a little rabbit trail. I'm thinking this Josh Earnest guy. You know, Jay Carney, truly, he'll be like the iconic. He'll be like Kleenex, right? Anything you blow your nose on is Kleenex. Jay Carney is like kind of the head of the liar-in-chief team. You
right,
know, this Josh Earnest guy, maybe it's just his name that like subliminally tricks me into thinking
he's
not,
honest.
He's not quite as bad.
Yeah.
But honestly,
he's earnest, but he must be joshing.
There you go.
Jeez, Bob, you're like, ta-ta-ta.
He's on it. On a roll.
But, you know, really, how do you get up there every morning and put on a suit and a tie and you go
tell people like this like it's true or
normal?
He doesn't have to do it every day, just on Friday afternoon.
Just Friday. He's got to really – that's probably why they do it on Friday.
It
takes
afternoon.
Josh all week to get to the point where he can really go for the gusto and not crack a smile.
Yeah. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. I'm sure he's saying. So anyhow.
Yeah, he said it's intended to help unemployed Americans find secure employment and ultimately will call it. Oh, we've got a cause. It's ultimately going to cause the unemployment rate to drop significantly. Quote,
yes.
Every American.
Believe that.
I'm now Josh Earnest. Every American deserves the right to possess the ability to get themselves to a good job. Public transportation is very limited for most of the unemployed, especially in rural areas. This free vehicle assistance program is designed to change the way Americans are currently living.
What? Yeah. Oh,
if I was an English
note,
teacher, I'd be like, go back to the drawing board, honey, because your sentences don't add up to anything. They make no sense.
Right. And on that note, there's one other headline I have to read before our guest just walked in. This one really got me. Pentagon replaces military boots with athletic shoes.
Is that so we don't have any boots on the ground?
You got it.
Patent leathers were going to be too much trouble? All the shining and the buffing?
Got it. It's wingtips. Wingtips and athletic shoes. Yeah.
So we don't have any actual B-O-O-T-S on the ground?
Yeah. They're golf shoes.
Golf shoes.
It's like, I don't care. Hey, you just can't make this stuff up. I don't care who you are. Yeah. So now there's not going to be any combat boots.
Literally.
Boots on, literally. On the ground.
I actually thought you were kidding.
No, I'm not kidding.
You're like Josh Earnest. You said it, and I'm supposed to totally believe you.
Yeah.
General Martin Dempsey, the nation's top military officer, stunned reporters today with the announcement that beginning immediately, the use of military boots, often inaccurately called combat boots that your mother wears, will be phased out beginning next week. What?
Yeah.
Recruits?
You're sure this isn't on The Onion?
No, it's on, scroll it up, it's on something that Empire News.
Empire News.
News from the Empire.
Yeah.
The Obama Empire.
It just keeps going on and on, folks. It's just like, really? Yeah. They'll be issued Nike Air Jordans and wingtips. I'm not making it up, folks. It's right there, in black and white.
Well, hold on. I saw John Kerry's name, so I don't know what this part is, but I'm going to read it. Read and learn. In a similar development, Secretary of State John Kerry said from Paris, where he is meeting with foreign leaders, that the official footwear of the State Department going forward will be flip-flops.
Yeah.
No explanation was given for this decision. I'm assuming that was
just... We have to wait till next Friday.
I'm assuming that was just for...
We have to wait till next Friday for that one. So anyhow, that was a couple headlines. I just, this morning turned on my computer and about had a heart attack. It's like, really? Are you kidding me? Free cars, and now you can't have boots on the ground. You have to have...
We got done talking about environmental wackyism, and I was all frustrated. I'm all happy now.
So there you
Mike,
go.
Mike, thanks for being late, man.
Thank you.
Totally appreciate it, and I'm stealing one of your yard signs. Mike Quinn for... What? City Council.
Yeah.
I was
going to
say Congress. I'm like, wait a minute, that's wrong.
No.
That's wrong.
No. So, before we go to a break... And,
back to you.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for sitting in with me for a few minutes there, and I Super appreciate
fun.
That.
We had a second collection at church, so...
Billy Bob has a quick comment from Palisadro.
Oh, Billy Bob, are you there?
Yes, good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
I wanted to mention how good your show was this morning, Aaron. Very informative.
Well, she's already stepped out, but thank you.
Okay. And my comment to Linda's thing about these Obama cars, they forgot to tell you that you're going to have your choice of cars out of pick and pull.
Pick and pull. Well, there you go. Or, what about the car program they had a couple of years ago that you turned them in? Maybe they got a boneyard of those sitting somewhere that we're going to...
Oh, yeah. You know, you get a free car, all right. You got to go out to pick and pull.
Cash for clunkers.
Cash for clunkers. There you go. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So anyway, it's just all the same politics as usual. I can't even get to the bottom of it like the rest of us.
Oh, yeah.
So
we can't wrap your head around this stuff.
Okay, I'm interested in listening to Mike Quinn's comments. All right, thank you.
All right, thanks. Have a great day. Thanks for calling in. Okay. Well, we have Mike Quinn in the studio. He has 30 years of...
fiscal responsibility.
Critical budgeting, financial, business, and endeavors. He has been in this community for the 30 years, supporting everybody in the community and the commerce of Reading. He's also sits on the board of REU as a commissioner. Is there anything else you want to get in there before we go to a break about yourself, Mike?
Not really. Just, I think the most important thing is that I have served on three of the biggest commissions that they've appointed in this town. And if you don't have some experience, the learning curve of what the city does and how it does it is so big. And I think that really distinguishes me from the people that are new that are running.
Oh, very good. Yeah. I don't think a lot of people realize until it starts being brought out what all is entailed in running the city.
That's
they,
it.
They like to keep it behind closed doors, some of them that we got on the
And also, there's no veterans in there either. We have a vet. What's our percent of veterans in our community? And not one on the city staff and not one on the city council, not one that's running.
Wow. Well, if you go, I'm not sure what the percentage is, but we have about 29,000 veterans, I do believe, in our population's about 100. So
29, I think, is in the county, so that's 15% of the people up here are veterans, and not one's represented.
Well, it'd be nice to have you in, then. That's what we're shooting for. So anyway, we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to hit on some subjects that Mike Quinn wants to hit on. Again, it's Mike Quinn is our guest, and he is running for the city council. So if you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460.
How long has this been going on? Linda Bott here. Join me every Thursday night at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR 1460 AM for On the Spot with Linda Bott. Find out what's hot and what's not. We talk about fun, film, fashion, food. Brought to you by Dandelion, Crackmaster, Mount Shasta Mall. On the Spot, Thursday, 6 p.m. right here, KCNR 1460 AM.
Shasta County Republican Central Committee invites you to Politics in the Park. Thursday, September 25th, social hour begins at 5 and dinner at 6 at the Anderson River Park. Dinner is barbecue tri-tip and chicken. Have fun with us as we have a meet and greet with our Republican representatives and our candidates. Tickets are $25 per person and $10 for children under 10. Call 222-5867 or check us out at ShastaGOP.org. Meet your representatives, ask questions, get answers.
Hailed by the New York Times as a cagey emotional drama packed with plot twists, The Other Place follows a brilliant scientist as she unravels a 10-year-old mystery that leads her back to a Cape Cod beach house where a revelation awaits her. Directed by Donna Stobie and featuring Lisa Collins, John Welsh, Caitlin Kenyon, and Daniel Beckman, proceeds will benefit the Reading Walk to End Alzheimer's, September 26th through 28th at Old City Hall in Reading. Go to CascadeTheater.org for tickets and showtimes.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
This is Sovereign Minds Radio. And in the studio, I have our guest, Mike Quinn. And before we get to you, Mike, just real quick, some of those headlines that I read may not have been the most reliable sources, but it was just a point to try to get out there that beware people. This is the kind of stuff that is coming down the pike and is happening if you're not getting educated and getting plugged in out there. So just wanted to make that little comment before we moved along, and want to welcome you.
If it's
you,
too
Mike.
Good to be true, it's true.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we know that we started out in the phones. Everybody, oh yeah, yeah, and they got the phones, you know, and things happen like that with our government or any government.
We got to be careful. If we started that just kind of as a joke, they may take it seriously and actually do it.
Well, just. My point is, just beware.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, you know. Not that they already don't have great ideas in their hip pocket, but anyhow, you know, just so you know, just wanted to get out there. And with that, welcome, Mike Quinn. I'm glad you could join me this morning. And again, you're running for city council, so tell me something. Tell me something that the people out there may need to know that they don't know about what's going on in our city.
The numbers. The numbers. There was big headlines this week between two of the candidates, Francie Sullivan and Mike DeQuisto, who are arguing over numbers because they can't read the financial statements. They are just not readable to the average person. And so they both see a number there, and one says, well, it's this, and the other one says, no, it's that. And this is the problem, and this is how government works. If they confuse you, they win.
Right.
And they don't have a real good reserve policy. And the reserve, right now with the REU Commission, we have forced them to the table with a new reserve policy. Now, I've seen their new reserve policy. It's the same as the old. It's just got newer words in it. Because the last time it was updated was in 1983. A reserve, to me, needs to be a finite number. It needs to be $20 million or $10 million. It needs to be a finite number.
Right.
They want it to be this varying number between 20 and 30% of the expenses. And what they want to do is have enough money on reserve to run REU for 150 days if nobody pays their bills. If they don't get another dime, they want to have enough money to operate for 150 days if they don't receive one dime of income. Folks, if not one person sends in one dime of income, it's all over.
Yeah,
it's going to be long over, and running it for 150 days is going to do absolutely no good. That's an insanity. Yes, there can be some things that happen, and yes, the city is self-insured, which is a policy that needs to be looked at. Is that still realistic or not? I don't know. Maybe it was when they put it in, but that's the problem. Once they set a policy, they said, well, that's a policy. Well, what about reviewing policies? What about going in there and saying, what is realistic? Times change. It's like doing a budget. They have a 10-year plan and a 5-year budget. Well, in that 5 years, you can budget, and guess what? Things have changed.
Yeah, we all know that. That's
how we got
our economy right now.
That's how we got a 50% rate increase, because they projected a 50% rate increase in the budget for 5 years. So my plan is, yes, you can have a 10-year plan, so you kind of know a little direction where you're going, and a 5-year forecast. You forecast where you're going to be and how that plan is going, but a 1-year budget. And you review that every 6 months. This is what the county does. The county does not have problems because they have taken care of the issues.
Well, they have problems, just maybe not those.
Right. They've got some other, but it's a whole different issue. You don't see them arguing about the unfunded liabilities.
Right.
Yes, they have them. They're on the books, but they've paid into them for years. We have chosen to ignore them. So these types of things, we need to pattern ourselves after something that works. We don't need to go very far. Just a few blocks away from City Hall is the county building, and we can look at them. And we're going to work with the county on a number of subjects to begin with.
Well, one of the questions I have when you opened up there, you said they haven't reviewed it or changed it since 1983. Why is that?
Because they can always say, well, that's the way we've always done it. And nobody's asked them to. Remember, the city council's job is to give direction.
Correct.
So if you don't get any direction, you just keep going in the direction you're headed.
Yeah, just follow the leader from the
From
the previous. That's not a good thing.
Well, and it really leads to a lot of problems because times change and the staff changes and the city council changes, but nobody ever goes back. And that's how we got into that problem with the man up here who had the business, who had the $500,000 bid for furniture to put in the new REU building, even though they had furniture where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
They needed $500,000, so money went to a Sacramento firm because there was no priority no preference for local businesses. Now, I talked to the former mayor of Calistoga, and he said we had a 5% across the board, 5% local preference. We would have kept that money here. Not only the sales tax, but the profit would have stayed with the Reading business. They said, well, you know, according to the way we bid this and in our current policy, we can't give a preference. Excuse me, wasn't that thought of before?
Wow.
And how long has this been going on? Now, I understand with large contracts, some of the big, larger contractors don't want a preference for local because they will start having the same thing happen to them when they bid out of town. And so that's where I would turn to them and say, okay, do you want it or not? But for the smaller bids and things like that, what's a 5% is extremely important to have. We've got to pay attention to our own businesses.
Yes, we do, because they're leaving.
Yeah.
They're leaving in groves out of California.
They're going out of business.
Yeah,
now,
you can't afford it, whether people want to believe it or not. We're not in a recession, and we're not in a recovery either. I mean, we're going down the tubes. We're not coming up.
We're starting to bleed jobs here.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that hurt us really badly, of course, was the drought. And you say, well, it didn't hurt us in the water. No, but hundreds of people who would have worked at the lake and thousands of people who would have come to the lake are not in our economy. You know, that's money that the county would have gotten, you know, so the county could have had more, you know, not as many problems and things like that. But all those people that earn jobs out there and come spend it in Reading, that cost us.
Right.
And then, you know, we're losing the post office jobs and Office Max and Office Depot merge and they cut one store and North Valley Bank and Tri-Counties Bank are merging and they're cutting a couple branches. So we're starting to see this, but who's coming in? Where's the replacement?
Yeah, there's nobody coming in to replace what is being lost here at all. For one, we all know that the unemployment rate is...
Well, it was
9.2%.
Well, now they're saying officially it's 8.4, dropped down to 8.4. This just came out in the last day or so. That unemployment rate is the number of people receiving unemployment. It's not the people who are unemployed or underemployed. And if you are a self-employed person in your own business, you don't even count.
No.
You never get your name in or number in that statistic, and that's horrible.
So
we don't know how many people.
Yeah, so talking about businesses and maybe, you know, giving some incentives, do you have any ideas about maybe some things that we could do at the city level that might help businesses start up or not having to leave or go out of business?
Well, number one is, you know, retain the ones you've got. Go talk to the ones you've got and say, what can we do? I mean, lowering electric rates is surely going to help everybody.
Yeah.
And that can be done, and it's going to have to be done, you know, proven that it's going to work and proven that, you know, that everybody can absorb that. But the more business that you have, the more electricity you use, the lower the rates can go. But the city needs to get out of the way of business. Get away. They don't understand it. Everything that they do takes way too much time. Like Stillwater Business Park. It was talked about for 10 years before they built it. They finally built it, and within those 10 years, the businesses left California. They were going across the border to
Nevada.
They
want to make money now. You want to start a business and start making money as soon
today.
As possible. Yeah, not, you know, 10 and years down the road because it fits into their plan.
The smaller the business, the quicker they need their doors open because they are starting to borrow the day that they start their rent and start leasehold improvements and things like that. They're borrowing money without anything coming in the door. They need to have the city get out of the way, period. Yes, we can lower the fees and things like that, but if you get those permits quickly and they're given a permit and they say, okay, you can open up, but you still have these things to do, it doesn't have to be completely signed off. There's things that are not going to interfere with the work of their business. Get their doors open. More people will be employed. More sales tax will be generated. Everything, they'll lower their debt. And debt. The city's going further and further in debt. Well, these businesses are going in debt because the city drags out the permits.
Yeah, I heard at one point it's almost like a year down the road or something for some of them to get the permits. And maybe I'm wrong in that, but it's quite the process.
They said they don't have enough people to go out and do this. But you know what? Their police building and their REU building are sure moving along quickly, aren't they? So when they want to, they will. And that's
so what it's coming to is we need to pressure them or be involved or have people on
or
the
hire
city.
People that understand and will get this thing moving.
There you go. So let's see. What else do you want to talk about with this beautiful city, you know?
Well, last night was a good example of a great event that went on downtown. Lots of people brought in. It's a beer and wine festival that had in the promenade. And it was very, very evident to me what the problem is downtown. No lights. You need a well-lit – if you want to keep this area down here and you want people to come down and enjoy the restaurants and enjoy things that are going on, you have to make them feel safe. And the number one way at night to make people feel safe is put out lights. Light the area. It is so dark down there.
Oh, really?
And there aren't – even in front of our building here in the 1300 block of Market Street, it's very poorly lit. And so that attracts the people you don't want. They can hide in the shadows. We want it lit. We want people to feel safe coming down. And if they can see around them, they are feeling safe. It was just really evident. There was a lot of people that came down there. Everybody's having a good time. There was no issues or anything like that. A lot of businesses were being represented. And that's what we need. We need people who, you know, will come out and mingle and, you know, go to businesses. And the restaurants were all full. And it was just a really good evening. It shows us what we can do. But we need to make sure everybody feels safe. And if you want business to start coming down here and you want people to start coming to downtown feeling safe, light it up.
Okay, and with that, we'll go to a break, and maybe come when we come back, let's talk a little bit about being safe in the community and some of the problems we have and maybe some of the solutions to that. So with that, we'll go to a break. This is KCNR 1460.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came.
It's Lady Bot and the Bluebirds, appearing in the Elements Restaurant and Lounge at the Wind River Resort and Casino Thursday, October 2nd, from 7 to 9 p.m. Join us as we recreate the vibe of the great lounge era, where musicians like Pat Karch, Bruce Kalin, and Bobby Veramentes play the wonderful standards of the great American songbook. Oh, yeah, and me, Linda Bot. I'll be at the mic singing my heart out. Dining, dancing, and a night to make memories. October 2nd in the Elements Restaurant and Lounge at the Wind River Resort and Casino. That's Lady Bot and the Bluebirds.
Dandelion Gift and Apparel is a unique boutique in the very heart of downtown Reading. It's on Market Street, just down the block from Kobe's Steakhouse. When you step into Dandelion, you have your own personal shopper. At Dandelion, they deliver that personal touch just to help you find the right item. Dandelion is open 10 to 5:30 weekdays and 10 to 5 on Saturday. So head downtown for stylish clothing, gifts, and accessories you just won't find at the mall. Dandelion. Yeah, that's it. Dandelion.
The home of good health in Reading for over 30 years is Orchard Nutrition. You'll love Orchard's in-store deli, featuring no-nitrate meats and fresh roasted beef from the local Lazy 69 Ranch. Try their bakery fresh bread, and of course, there's organic produce washed in Orchard's purified water. A part of the Reading community for over 30 years, family-owned and operated for three generations, Orchard Nutrition is far more than a health food store. They're the North State Nutrition Experts. Orchard Nutrition, 221 Locust Street in Reading.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key. Oh, baby, how did I do? All I need is my brother. I say I'm gonna get high.
And we're back with Sovereign Minds. Just had a little bit of history with this
yes.
song. Mike was telling me that this is Sparrow Agnew's theme song.
He went a little crazy on when this one came out with Joe Cocker, A Little Help for My Friends, because it meant that the friends were drugs.
Oh.
And so Mr. Spiro Agnew stood up there and, like Spiro Agnew did, said what he felt.
So knowing your history and getting educated can be very important.
It's really important.
Yes.
You repeat it.
Did you have something you wanted to say, Bob?
Oh, no, I was just recalling, I believe George Harrison wrote it and sang it with the Beatles originally on the Sgt. Pepper album, if memory serves.
That is correct.
Uh-huh. You guys are dating our...
Which really drove...
We're not dating each other.
Yeah, you know, so there you go. With that, before we went to a break, we were started to get into safety in the city and maybe some problems that we have. We know we have safety issues within the city, but some of the solutions that you might bring forth when you are elected.
I'll go back to the numbers issue. We need to figure out how many feet we need on the street. How many officers need to be on the street at any point in time? This is how you're going to determine what your staffing is going to be. And it's really important that you say if there's 10 officers per shift that are out there and maybe you have one or two supervisors, you need 12 people. It doesn't or 12 feet. That doesn't mean that it's 12 officers because some of them want overtime. A lot of the younger ones, you know, want the overtime. And this is where you go back in and you calculate. Also, at the same time.
Some of the older ones want the – retirement, I mean the overtime for the retirement.
Yes. Well, no. See, this is where overtime is good because you don't pay into the retirement with overtime. That's the only reason that, you know, I mean, I come from the private world and overtime was a bad word. You know, overtime was a four-letter word. You did not want it. It was too expensive. But you see, when you have overtime in a city, municipality, you don't pay into the retirement plan. So, therefore, it's okay to have overtime.
Okay.
You don't have that big cost. You don't have the extra medical cost. You don't have things like
but
that.
But doesn't that go towards what their salary is at the end, and then their pension is based upon that when they leave?
No, there's a difference between their salary and their W-2.
Okay.
And so that's, you know, we need to make these distinctions. People need to understand this part of it. So what we need to do is figure out how many officers you're going to need, with some of them wanting overtime, X number of feet on the street, knowing that some of them are on disability and they're still considered within those 98 sworn officers that we have. Some of those guys are on disability and unable to go out on the street.
Okay.
So what do we really need? This is the way you budget. And I presented that to the chief, and he goes, that's kind of a unique way of looking at it. Well, that's the way, you know, in the business world that we would look at something like that to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The city says, okay, hire 8 officers and things like that. Maybe you need 10, maybe you need 6. You've got to sit down and figure it out. And at any point in time, you can always have that critical point like we had this year when the 2 shootings occurred and 9 officers were taken on to off the street. Because when they're...
For an investigation, why they're doing an investigation.
Well, the investigation and just the fact that they need to step back for a little bit. So all of a sudden, you're really, really short of officers. Well, then others fill in with overtime and you've got X number of feet on the street. That's the way I look at it. And so you can budget a little bit differently. Maybe your budget goes up, maybe it goes down, maybe it stays the same. But at least it tells you how many people we need on the street at any point in time and what the cost is going to be.
But then we have a problem, and there's a question or a comment in the chat room. That about the jail situation, we don't have the room to house a lot of people. We know they're being turned out. Actually, they're being turned out faster than we can book them through. But
there's an issue, and we need to. This is where the city and the county have to work together. You can hold them for 23 hours when you book them. Now, if we're letting the guy out getting caught and he gets arrested 3 times in one day, we're not holding him for 23 hours.
Correct.
So. You know, you put a room over there and you see you guys stand in here for a while, you know, for 23 hours. And at the end, you know, we have to outlast them. They're making our lives miserable. We have to turn it around. And to the pure criminal, you have to say, well, you've got your 23 hours in there. Oh, by the way, it's $300 to get out, too. Now, they always come up with their bail money somehow. But why aren't we making them pay? Why are we paying for all of this?
Yeah.
The good people, we're paying. Why don't they pay?
Well,
so we add some fees to it. Their friends, you know, they'll come up with the $300 the first time. The second time, they're going to take them out and say, hey, dummy, I ain't paying for you anymore.
You're on your luck. You can stay in there as long as
and
you
then
have
you have,
to.
And then they start pressuring each other on this stuff. But you hold them as long as you can. And you know, make their lives as miserable as they're making ours.
Yeah,
and make them pay for the cost of this.
And if they can't pay, then maybe ship them someplace else.
Well, you keep the bill going because maybe someday they will be.
Yeah.
You know, and if they want out, then they got to pay to get out.
Yeah, another concern I have, I noticed, or I heard, you know, that they're keeping high-level offenders up there in the county jail. And maybe, like you say, maybe they need to process them.
The courts are not helping us.
Yeah, they're not processing. To get them shipped out elsewhere, you know, we're holding. What's the holding time on them?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that happen, too. But, you know, part of this is that the trials take so long and they can extend it and they can, okay, I got to change attorneys and I got to do this and I got to do that. You extend that out. So they're staying in the county jail and they're getting credit for the time that they're in there rather than the credit time they may be in prison. You have to, you know, you have to give them so much time for being in there. But we're having to house them for that. And that's taking up space that we normally would be able to fill, you know, and keep some of these other people off the street. But again, we need to make their lives miserable. They're making ours. They're costing us. We need to start costing them.
Right. So what's some, maybe some other solutions in regards to safety for the city that the city could do at the city level to help out with some of the safety issues that we have?
Well, the thing, if you look at Chief Paletti's initial plan to spend the money that they were going to give him, you know, when they first said, let's do a 0.5% sales tax, it's $10 million. We'll give it to the police. They'll solve the problem. Nobody had a plan. So then he came up and he says, I need 10 CSO officers. So there's a training period of time. You can ask some of the retired officers. There's a lot of retired officers that are out there and they, you know, you could ask them to come back. They go out and do secondary jobs. You'll find a lot of them at the courthouse working, you know, at the gate when you first go into the courthouse now. And ask them to come back and take the places because they've already been vetted. They've already been, you know, they could step into some of these positions. They do need volunteers to take the reports. We have to start reporting again. Every time there's a crime, you call because they are going to get a new computer program that puts little pins on every crime. Well, if you see crime going into one community, one part of your community, and it's constant, it's happening like this, they know to go target that. And if people stop calling, they don't know where the crimes really are being committed. And a lot of times with some of these people who don't have a great transportation other than maybe a bicycle, they're going to only work within a circle. And you'll be able to target those areas. But we have to become proactive and say, okay, I know that they're not going to, you know, come out and maybe take a report, but we can go online. We can report what happened, when it happened, you know, some of these things. And they'll start tracking that through these computer programs. So the chief asked for that. Give it to them. It's simple.
Right. Again, we have Mike Quinn in the studio who is running for Reading City Council.
Yeah.
I had a listener that wasn't quite sure. I guess missed the part when we mentioned who was in the studio. So I just wanted to get that out there so that they know who you are and what you're running for. And you were talking about people making calls and being proactive and stuff. I think people's conception of or perception of the police sometimes is different, that they think that they are proactive. They're not in place to be proactive.
Not with what's going on right now. Is they're having to react. And,
yeah.
And they want to. Believe me, the police department, you know, they don't like this any more than any of us. They don't like seeing these guys walk back out the door any more than anybody else here. And we need to support them.
Right. Well, we have a few minutes and we're running down. What is it that in the last few minutes you really want to get out to the listeners about you running for city council and what you can do to maybe change things or help down at the city council to get you in office?
Well, it's going to be, again, I talk about numbers. We have to budget. Right now they budget for positions that aren't being filled. And when they eliminate a position that was never meant to be filled, they think they saved money. We've got to get the attitude. We have to run it like a business. If you're going to have a financial statement, you're going to run that like a financial statement. You're going to have a realistic budget. You're going to know where you're at, where you're going. And we take that away from all the chief of police should not be having to worry about his budget going back and forth. He has somebody over there and they constantly are talking about the numbers back and forth. No. If you do it right, he can go police like he's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the chief of police is called upon to do a lot of different things. He does, you know, the community forums. He spends a lot of extra time. And we need to free them up. We need to get a realistic plan that the community can afford. We have reached a point right now with our electric rates and our fees for businesses and permits and things like that. This city has reached its capacity to pay any more. But they have two more electric rate increases that they have planned for this year. That's just this year. Wait till they get into their next year budget. And we're fighting that. And I will continue to fight that.
All right. I want to thank you, Mike, for coming in. And maybe we'll have you back in the future before the election. I know that you were running from church, so we didn't have the full hour.
Morning,
yeah, so that happens. Again, this is Sovereign Minds. Don't forget, tomorrow at Reading Tea Party, we have Election Integrity Project. So come out and join us at 6 p.m. at 2570 South Bonneview. Again, Sovereign Minds, and we'll see you next week.
Working with my hands. Oh, really.
The Don Shulman Show is next here at KCNR Shasta Reading.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. President Obama and Pentagon chiefs are working on a plan to stop ISIS in Iraq and Syria without the use of American ground troops. U.S. United Nations Ambassador Samantha Power says local Muslims will have to bear the brunt of the fight.
What is very important and the key, again, to stability over time is national institutions, national actors taking ownership of the stability of their countries.
She was a guest on NBC TV's Meet the Press program. Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman General Martin Dempsey says it may be some time before a campaign plan is signed off on. The Secret Service is looking into two breaches of White House security in less than 24 hours. SRN's Ken Lorman says the latest one was yesterday.
A man was arrested for trying to unlawfully enter the executive mansion. Friday night, a 42-year-old Texas man scaled the fence and got through the north portico.